All right, we want to invite your attention this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We want to read one verse from this portion of the Word of God. And our subject this morning is, why church? From Ephesians chapter 3, reading, as I said, one verse, verse 21. Now, folks, Brother Paul had some serious things to say to the church at Ephesus, and in those things that he said, he very often points to some very foundational and glorious truths about the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this happens to be one such verse that he said that some one of those great and wonderful things about the Lord and His relationship with His church. Ephesians 3:21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now, folks, America is a very religious society, and we all know that. There's religion on every corner. There's some kind of worship set up on every corner almost. Here in the Bible Belt of the United States, as we call it, you can count the churches and denominations going down the road, and they're located probably in this neck of the woods, less than a mile apart, one right after another, as far as you want to drive around West Tennessee or even Central Tennessee. So we know that America is a very religious society, and we expect that America will continue to be a religious society, but I think we expect that amiss if we do, because we find that just during this decade alone, several surveys have been done on the attitudes about church and religion, and those surveys are showing that among adults in this country, those who claim some kind of Christian belief dropped by almost 8% since just 2007 to 2014. 8% drop. Now, you might say, well, help me here to reflect on that. Well, it's almost one person out of every 10 has dropped off in claiming to be have some Christian religious affiliation. And overall, there was a drop, actual drop in percentage of Americans who claim a Christian religion at all from what was a national percentage of 78.4%. It dropped to only 70.4% in those 7 years. Now, one of the most sobering aspects of all this, now listen to me, I think this is critical. One of the most sobering aspects of all this is that in this decade, fully 25% of young adults have rejected religious affiliation altogether, which means that the bulk of the rejection of religion of any kind and of the Christian religion has occurred among our young people. Take that home with you, because it's a critical indicator of the signs of the times. Now, I think this ought to act as a warning bell about where the world, and specifically where this nation, is going in relation to the association that Christians have historically had with the God of the Bible. I think it's a warning bell. Now, when we look at the behavior today of our fellow citizens across the United States regarding spiritual things, and when we give some thought to the general American attitude about spiritual things or about just religion itself, whether you consider religion spiritual or not, when we look at the American attitude about church and about what we call faithfulness to the Lord, we can't help, brothers and sisters, but notice that the sacredness of those things we consider to be spiritual things, that the sacredness of it has generally degenerated all around us. You might say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the fact that as you look around you in this nation today at the Christian religion and it participation in it by people, by the citizens of America, you see a very steep decline in people going to church and people doing things that relate to church and people acknowledging that the church has any value whatsoever. A steep decline has occurred in your life and mine, and really in the last 10 to 20 years, it's been precipitous. It's dropped off like falling off of a cliff. Now this trend, brothers and sisters, is going to continue if we are to understand the prophecy of the Bible at all, because God has prophesied that such would be the case, that there would be a decrease and a degradation in the spiritual aspect of humanity upon earth. And that's what this is all about. It's a degradation in an acknowledgement, a recognition of spiritual things by humanity. And so we have it to face, and we have it to think about, and I think we have it as God's people and as a church here to deal with. Now, why have any concern about this thing, and maybe why have any concern about whether people affiliate themselves with a church or not? Why have any concern about why people aren't interested in coming to church anymore? Why have any concern about why people who come to church today have little or no interest beyond sitting in the pew and getting up and going home and making sure that that going home happens around lunchtime and that the pastor doesn't run over? And by the way, I'm not talking about this congregation. You folks, I believe, would sit here as long as the pastor preached. But I'm telling you right now, we hear these water cooler stories all around the country about how people are really antsy if the preacher runs over. They're really antsy if the preacher gets on the wrong subject. They're really up in the air if the preacher seems to be preaching to them. This is an indicator of the loss of any kind of spiritual respect for the things of God. When people act like that, we can at least say that spiritual respect has degraded. And that's what we see all around us. So why should we have any concern about this at all as the people of God? Well, to answer this, I'm going to look at a number of things that convince each one of us as the Lord's people that there are a multitude of biblical answers to the question as to whether or not we should be concerned. Because, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When we look around us at churchgoers today, we notice also there's tends to be creeping into even the large churches a kind of lackadaisical approach and concern about the things of God. In fact, I look around at Baptist churches just right here in this community, and I see that Baptist churches have literally, seemingly dropped the formalism of public worship to the point that people treat it like a Sunday outing at a picnic down at the park, or they treat it like going to a party. Those kinds of things are some dangerous red flags for people serving the living God. This is not a party at the park. This is not a Sunday picnic down at the beach. This is a time when the people of God gather to solemnly worship the great God of heaven. Now, I'm not preaching about not having any happiness when you come to church, because you ought to have. But what I'm preaching about is how that the respect and attention to spiritual things has degraded all around in America today. So I want to present some ideas for us as God's people about why we ought to be concerned about church participation, about upholding the things of the Lord's church at work, and about our own involvement in the things of the work of the Lord's church. Now, the first thing that we want to think about and look at here is answered. Well, the first reason that I see why we should be deeply concerned and concerned with a spiritual vigor about the things of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is found in our text. Look at the text again. Unto Him, unto God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Do you see something there? Throughout all ages, world without end. Now, folks, let me just say as a precursor here that there is no doubt whatsoever that in the end, God will be glorified by everything that exists in His created world. You might say, are you saying He's going to be glorified by everything? Let me tell you something. There are some very, very rebellious, wicked sinners across this globe that imagine that they are thwarting religion. They are thwarting the gospel message. They are thwarting the God that we Christians claim is out there. They imagine that they're thwarting all of those religious beliefs and religious actions. But let me tell you something. The vilest wicked sinner that ever walked the face of the earth will be glory to God when it's all done. And folks, we need to remember that and realize, unto Him be glory well enough everywhere across the globe, among every culture of human beings, within the life of every single human being. But this is not talking about that. This is talking about, unto Him be glory in the church. And I believe that God has put this phrase in the Bible, an exclusive phrase, for a reason, to remind us that there is a special kind of ordained glory to our God that will come out of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Within the framework of the Lord's church, within the construction of it, within the ongoing policy and work of it, will be glory to God here in Him, one of His churches, any and all of His churches, throughout all ages. So, I think we see here that only in the setting of the church can this particular glory be produced, because it is only in the church that the unique spiritual relationship between the Lord and a collective group of called out people exists. Folks, I know, and you do too, that God has spoken to everyone who has ever been saved by the grace of God. And that whether they're church members or not, God has some kind of special relationship with every born-again believer. But let me tell you something that I believe this shows us right here, this text verse. That there is a special relationship. That there is a special setting that has been set up by the Lord Jesus Christ between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the assembled people of God. There is a special relationship that exists nowhere else in creation. Unto Him be glory in the church, says our Lord. And I believe that this is about talking about a unique spiritual relationship between the Lord and a collection or an assembly of baptized believers. This special relationship, this special glory to God, is acted out in the Lord's church. I believe this tells us that the God-ordained congregation of believers here on earth, wherever it exists, including Harmony Baptist Church, is one of a kind. That relationship is one of a kind, and God's ordination for it is one of a kind. Now, what I'm talking about, folks, are some things that are important, or ought to be important for every believer, about the value of the Lord's church to God Himself and to the people of God. If God's people don't value the church and its function and its importance in the earth, they will miss the Lord's church. It's just that simple. And you might say, oh, do you mean it? Christians, true born again, Christians can diss the Lord's church? Yes, they can and do. And you see it every day in Baptist churches. All you got to do is look around. All you got to do today, folks, is drive down by the beach and find out how many baptized Baptists are down there on the beach, or riding out there in the boat that they've got down there on the lake. are standing there with a fishing rod in their hands, or sitting at home playing video games, or whatever it is that draws them away from proper respect and proper honor to God in the assembly of the saints of God. This God-ordained congregation, I say again, here on earth, this God-ordained congregation is one of a kind, set up by the Lord. And because it is one of a kind, set up by the Lord, it has the necessary spiritual structure to yield glory to God of the kind that is spoken of in our text. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And that brings us to the next thought about this text verse, and that is the reason why the Lord's church should be so important to us is that this glory to God in the church is to show itself in God's assemblies by Christ Jesus. We meet folks out there on our visitation program on Wednesday evening. About 99.9% of them just about say, "Yes, I'm saved." "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior?" we will say. And they'll say, "Yes, I do." "Are you a church member somewhere?" And then they'll tell what church they're a member of, and they're answering their door on Wednesday evening at the time of the Wednesday evening meeting. Now, you can excuse members of churches like ours because we don't have the Wednesday night prayer meeting service. But for the most part, a lot of churches do. And their members sit at home and watch TV on Wednesday night. That's why the cars on the lot of the churches on Wednesday night are much fewer than on Sunday morning. That's the reason that there's so few cars out there, because there's so few members inside. Now, folks, that doesn't say much, and by way of compliment to the people of God who are supposedly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they will not, on the midweek service, and many of them on the Sunday service, not assemble with their church to give glory to God through Christ Jesus, their Savior, supposedly. Now, I want us to pay close attention to the fact that it is by the Lord Jesus Christ that this glory comes to God through the church. Our church wouldn't be worth a plug nickel for glorifying God if Christ was not the centerpiece of it. And folks, this is that same Christ, the Redeemer, who saved us, who washed us from our sins in His own precious blood. This is the by Christ Jesus spoken of in our text. He is that substitute for us who suffered the violence and the abuse as a criminal for us, as He did, and was put to death on the cruel cross as He was. He is that Savior who had us in His heart and on His mind when He poured out His lifeblood on Calvary that we might have remission of sin. That is the Christ through whom glory to God in the church comes. And we ought to always remember that. Listen, folks, if there's anything that will draw out a child of God to be conscientious and empathetic toward the things of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be that which reminds them of the preciousness of Jesus Christ, who organized His church while during His earthly ministry here. That would stir a child of God to give due reverence to the Lord. And it is through Jesus Christ that the glory to God is given in the church. So as we think about, well, you know, I don't know whether it's so important for me to go to church all the time or not. I think we ought to think about the fact that, and I don't want to be too cruel, but it's dissing Jesus Christ We say, well, I got other things I'll do. I don't have to go this Sunday because I got other things that are important. Oh, the ox is in the ditch. Failing to mention that we shoved him in the ditch. I think that we ought to give thought of the fact that when we diss the Lord's church, when it assembles to hold services, we're dissing our Savior. We ought to always remember that because, folks, you might think, well, the church can get along just fine without me. I mean, they don't have to have me. I don't do much there anyway. I'm not that important in the function of the church. Yes, we are. Each and every one of us are critically important to the proper assembling and work of the Lord's church. And as soon as we forget that, we forget that unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, our Savior. And when we forget that, we're all inclined to dishonor our Lord and Savior by really lackadaisical attitude in attending and supporting our church. Here's an incentive to help us value the Lord's church and all its efforts, all of its endeavors, and to value the very existence of the Lord's church. And it's found in the last part of this great verse, because if you look at it, the Lord tells us there that there will be glory to God in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now, don't mistake it to be talking about just this world that exists right now. God has another view of world. That world without end means the creation of God without end, okay? And what we find here is a wonderful truth that whatever, listen folks, those of you that have a big heart for the Lord's church, whatever you do in service to the Lord Jesus Christ in and through your church, whatever you do in faithfulness and sacrifice and giving up of yourself so that the Lord's church might function and might grow and might prosper, whatever you do in that respect will never go away. It's going to be forever. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. That throughout all ages means throughout, you know, sometimes eternity is spoken of as a series of ages. And that's what it's talking about. Throughout all ages, world without end. And so whatever you do in service to your Lord, in honoring Him through His church, it's going to be lasting forever. We'll never die, never fade away. Now, some of us here have done a lot of work in our lifetime. Look at Brother Johnny's resume, and he's talking about jack of all trades. He's a jack of all trades. So he's done, I don't know, tell him how many different kinds of trades he's been into. And I was looking at that and I got to thinking, you know, all that, some of that stuff there is just great work. But as I thought about work that we do, regardless of the magnitude of it, regardless of how long our list is, when this all this current creation passes away in a big ball of fire, it's all gone. It's just like you never did anything as long as it's a carnal, temporal pursuit. You might say, well, I know that when I die, it'll be unimportant whether that stuff lasts or not. No, I'm talking about, is it eternal or is it temporal? Oh, by the way, a hint for those of us that know the Lord, know the power of the Lord. If you want to know how to carry some of that temporal stuff into eternity and have it last forever, consecrate it to the Lord. And you say, well, I do. Well, I do too. But how much of it do we really consecrate to the Lord? That's another story for another message. But the point I'm making is everything we do in the way of temporal business and affairs on this earth, things that we've acted out here on earth, even if it was very productive worldly activities, earthly, temporal activities, once this heaven and earth passes away, it's gone. And in fact, a lot of it disappears after we die and go on. But what you do in serving your Lord in and through His church, in the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, last forever. It'll be right there in eternity, in the annals, in the record book of God, forever. That ought to give us incentive. All through eternity, those things that glorify our Lord are always going to be revealed out there in the open in God's sinless world. Now, a second answer to the question about the value of the Lord's church to the people of God is that the Lord has placed and outfitted His church to be the source of all spiritual helps we will need as the people of God. Let me say it again, because this is an important one, especially in this day that we live in, where all around us, nobody cares. Oh yeah, we've got our welfare programs. But try to get involved in the welfare program and find out how much people really care out there in the world of helps that a government runs. It all depends on what words you say, what powers you hold, what influences you can bring to bear for yourself upon the system. Has nothing to do with the mercy of God. But listen, folks, we find that the Lord's church has been put in such a place and outfitted in such a way that it can be the source of all spiritual helps as the people of God have those needs. Now, we hear complaints sometimes about how the Lord's church, or how churches and denominations kind of run out of patience with helping people again and again and again and again and again. But what people are talking about when they're talking about those kind of helps, they're talking about maybe a little leg up, giving them some money to pay some bill, a little leg up to get them some clothes, or a little leg up to get them some groceries. That's what people are talking about when we hear them talking about how these charitable organizations and charitable denominations and so forth run out of patience, or after a while they start making big demands on people trying to get help. They're talking about physical, temporal assistance. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that the Lord's church is provisioned, outfitted to be the source of all spiritual helps we will need as the people of God. And yes, brothers and sisters, sometimes that does include temporal physical needs being met, as those here at Harmony Baptist Church have learned again and again over the years. Now, you might say, well, Brother Myers, if it sometimes means that it also includes physical help and what we call charity to needy folks, when do you distinguish the difference? I don't, but God does, and I believe the difference lies in this. The very famous words of the Lord Jesus Christ when He said, listen to me, those of you that are born again, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. For the life is more than meat and raiment. Now, what is he talking about when the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment? Let me say it like this. The life that's important to God is more than food to eat. And the body that's to serve God and live for God is more than some clothes to be put on. Now, that's exactly what he said. You might say, how are you tying that in? Folks, let me tell you something. I could be hungry, but I might not need to eat. And I can have some tattered clothes, but I might not need a new pair. And the reason I might not need it is I'm at least not indecent with what the clothes I got, although they're tattered, and I'm only hungry because I'm in between meals. And furthermore, if I'm looking at just my food to eat and my clothes to wear, I've got the wrong attitude toward God in the first place. Because the life is more than food, and the body is more than about clothes. And what Jesus is teaching us there, of course, is there are just some things, folks, more important than what your fleshly needs are. And when people get their attitudes and their viewpoint about spiritual things in order, then God can and will and does provide what they need. And yes, sometimes it is basic essentials for life. And that's fine. But do you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ worked the miracle of the loaves and the fishes? And then He fed everybody and went on across the Sea of Galilee. And the next day, all those people He fed came looking for Him. And they were searching out to find out where He was at. And they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what He said to them? He said, I'm going to paraphrase. You're not coming to Me because of the miracle of the fishes and the loaves, but you're coming to Me because you ate and got your belly full. Well, what do you suppose He meant by that? I believe you know, those of you that are informed by the Lord, you know that He meant you're more concerned with secular, physical, temporal things than you are spiritual things. And that was a kind of rebuke to them. Hey, we have no Bible reference about Him saying much more than that to them, but it is a rebuke. And it's a rebuke that I believe God put in the Bible for us to learn from. Folks, we got to get our priorities right. And when we get our priorities right, God will take care of the rest. And listen, the Lord has placed and outfitted His church to be the source of all spiritual helps that we as God's children will need. Now, I said at the start that the Lord does deal directly with each of us as believers, and our fellowship with Him as true believers is available as in a kind of one-on-one basis because we're priests of God through grace. And we're citizens in the kingdom of God through grace. And we're children of God through grace. Now, you can't be a priest of God in the kingdom of God as a citizen of the kingdom and as a child of God and not benefit from it directly because God is the Father, the great King, and the Savior. But listen, there's a special relationship. The Lord has instituted and sustain the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as a support organization for the people of God. And when we understand that and we interact with the Lord's church with that understanding, we discover that the Lord has set things up to take care of us. Now, folks, you'll find children of God in a real hard way sometimes. Tough times. Bad tough times. And sometimes you'll wonder why they're in those tough times. And sometimes they're in those tough times because the trial of their faith is much more precious than of gold. But sometimes, especially in America today, you find children of God in tough times because they have ignored this fact that the Lord's church it has been instituted to be a spiritual hiding house for the people of God. A spiritual support group for the people of God. A spiritual strength for the people of God. I think I can say that in America, true Christians who are really having tough times and really are at a place where they're suffering terribly because when we look at them, they have abandoned looking in the right place for help. I think we can safely say it's because they have abandoned the pathway of God. They have left off following the pattern of God. But when God's people realize that the church is that support organization, it has been founded by the Lord, set up, and it processes and exists and functions in a way to be a spiritual blessing to any child of God who will seek spiritual blessing. That's the way the church operates. Now, I think we all ought to read, and I want to encourage you to read today after church, to read the 12th and 13th chapters of the book of 1 Corinthians. And you're going to discover what I've been talking about right there. But let me just summarize what those chapters teach us, especially the 12th chapter. It teaches us that every member has a function in the Lord's church that he or she is a member of. Each one of us have a function that are members here at Harmony Baptist Church, a function in this assembly. It is a function specified by the Lord, ordained by the Lord. We have been set in here by the Lord. Now, if you've been set in by something else, then you don't have a function. I mean, that can happen, you know. Yeah. Some people set themselves in the visible congregation that they don't necessarily set themselves in the Lord's church, but it looks like they're in the Lord's church. You understand what I'm saying? But if the Lord has set you in one of his churches, you have a specific function in that church. And every member, in addition to being a critical working member of this body of Christ, has the privilege and the opportunity to draw spiritual support from the body of baptized believers that they're a member of. Amen. And can have that spiritual support if they're seeking that spiritual support. The ultimate accomplishment, as 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 teaches us, the ultimate accomplishment to be achieved in this setup by one of the Lord's churches is the upbuilding of every member of that body of baptized believers. Upbuilding of every member. Now, folks, I know that there is a myriad of teachings out here about what constitutes a church, what the church is supposed to be doing, what the church is not supposed to be doing, how the church is supposed to function. But I'm telling you what the Bible teaches, okay? And that's what we need to remember. Now, we're about out of time. I'm going to close here. And we'll pick up with the second part of this message this evening, Lord willing. I want us to just summarize or cap what we said. And I'll cap it this way. Unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And when we fully embrace that and understand that and are members of one of the Lord's churches, we really can become an integrated, functional, productive member of the Lord's body that he's made us a member of. When we realize that whatever we're doing, we're seeking to glorify our God, and we're seeking to do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to that, we're on the right footing, folks, to be able to truly, truly build up one another, magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen one another in the things that are important, and provide spiritual help to one another as we go forward in the blessings of the Lord. I want us to stand and sing an invitation number. I wonder if the Lord has spoken to any of you about your church membership, your church service, your responsibility to the Lord's church, whatever it is that the Lord may have spoken. You know, that's one thing about a preacher. He can preach all he wants to, but it's the Lord that speaks to the heart. If the Lord doesn't speak to the heart, it doesn't get spoken to, regardless of how fluent the preacher may be, regardless of how what the power of the message might be. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes and speaks to one of His children about things that are important, that's when God's people can be stirred up and be called to move.